Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Hello there, everyone. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the Brouhaha, a podcast dedicated to the Beastie Boys. And if you are keeping score, then yes, this is the first show on our new podcast. Today, we will be joined by one of the world's top Beastie Boys memorabilia collectors, Prof. D. We will talk about his collection of Beastie goodies, and a little bit later on, we will count down the top 10 Beastie Boys B-sides of all time. But before we do all of that, I want to explain to you why we have a podcast called The Brouhaha, dedicated to the Beastie Boys. I will give you a 5-point outline, and I will bullet point this outline with capital letters. So we start with A. I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan. I may be one of the top 10 Beastie Boys fans in the world. And if you want to challenge me, then you step up. And if you would ever like to email me, and if you would like to be a guest on the Brouhaha, if you think you're good enough to be a guest, then email me at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. Unfortunately, the Brouhaha@gmail.com, that was already taken. But yes, I'm a big Beastie Boys fan. Family, friends, acquaintances, and even strangers. They would tell you that I'm obsessed. I'm not obsessed. I'm just a big fan. All right, B. I like to peruse podcasts on iTunes. I like to listen to people talk. And during my perusing sessions, I haven't found a definitive Beastie Boys podcast. So if there ain't one out there, there should be. And if you have a Beastie Boys podcast, then let me know about it, because I would love to listen to it. You know, because if we have all of this Beastie knowledge and we don't use it, it's a waste. C on my outline of why we created this Beastie Boys podcast. For the last 3 years, I've done a web show called Yins Love De Gwyns, following around my favorite hockey team, the Pittsburgh Penguins. This year, we even did a podcast for Yins Love the Gwyns, and unfortunately, my team was eliminated from the playoffs early, so I have some unexpected spare time on my hands now. And since I am in the podcast frame of mind, since I can't do a podcast for the Penguins, I decided to do one for the Beastie Boys. D. I have worked in music for the last 17 years, not getting paid for all of those years, but 17 years working in music. And the best times I've had have always centered around the Beastie Boys. And let's go back when I was a college radio DJ. The most fun part about that job was playing the Beastie Boys on the radio station. And I remember I'd have to hit the mute button every time they swore. And, you know, they do that from time to time. Every couple weeks, I also got to call Kenny from Grand Royal, and he would send Grand Royal goodies from California all the way to Waynesburg, PA, 88.7, the station. I used to work at a record store, and during the holiday season of 1998, I suggestively sold 13 copies of Hello Nasty, and they were not on sale. Those were $18.99 apiece, so that was a good time. Working for MTV and MTV2, once I got to meet and interview the Beastie Boys, everything after that was downhill. For a year of my professional music life, I was a blogger. I don't know if I enjoyed blogging, but the shining moment of being a blogger was getting to go down to the Oscilloscope Laboratories and interview Adam Yauch about his movie Gunnin' for That Number One Spot. So, you know, if the Beastie Boys bring me this much joy in life, it only makes sense that I do a Beastie Boys podcast. And then finally, on this outline, letter E, I've got to do something productive while we wait for the brand new album, Hot Sauce Committee Part 1. But let it be known that I am in no rush for the album because Adam Yauch, he has to take care of his family and his health first. So whenever he's ready, whenever the Beastie Boys are ready, then I'll be ready. But in the meantime, I will try to keep the masses happy with the brouhaha. Now, as I said at the top of the show, we will be joined by Prof D, one of the world's top Beastie Boys memorabilia collectors, and he will be here when we come back. So don't nobody go nowhere.
Ready?
And on the cool check-in, set a stage on the mic, and we're putting it on wax. It's the new style.
Yeah. Made it right, come on, clear.
Yeah, I don't hang out with those guys. Man, I ain't got nothing to do with those dudes.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat. I can walk out.
There was a really great show last night down in downtown somewhere.
You're wild, man.
We are back on the brouhaha, and we are now joined by the world's foremost Beastie Boys memorabilia collector, Prof D. Welcome to the brouhaha, Professor D.
Jim, this is an honor. I can't believe you have yet another endeavor that you're taking on here. I don't know how you do it.
Well, one of the reasons I'm doing it is because the Pittsburgh Penguins lost. So now I have some spare time on my hands.
Yes, we will not be speaking of that anymore.
No, we don't need to talk about it. We got a lot of other things to talk about. But
yes, let's talk of less bittersweet things.
Yes. Prof actually stands for Professor, and since this is a Beastie Boys podcast, I have to do it. Professor, what's another word for pirate treasure?
Well, I think it's booty. Booty.
Nice.
That's what it is.
Now, do they... See, I was trying to think of it today without listening to the song. Do they say, what's another word for pirate treasure, or what's another name for pirate treasure?
It is another word.
Would you bet $100...
Not another name.
Would you bet $100 on word?
With you?
Yes.
Yes, I will take that bet.
Well, no, we didn't. I was asking if hypothetically,
oh, okay,
if you would.
Okay. Hypothetically.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna check that during the break, and then we will have an answer after the next break. But let's talk about your Beastie Boys memorabilia collection. It's huge.
Okay.
It's huge. It's mammoth.
It's gigantic.
Thousands of pieces.
Massive. You know, in preparation for this, I was trying to, like, go through and think about how many pieces I actually have, and I'm not sure that I've hit the 1,000 item plateau at this point.
Okay.
But we're getting real close. We're getting real close, we'll put it that way.
Now, before we talk about the crown jewel of your collection, I want to talk about the little knickknacks. Items that the Beastie Boys had no business putting out, and items that you have no business owning. I'm talking like ashtrays, maxi pads, shot glasses.
Right.
Those little sponges that are business cards, but when you put in water, they fluff up into a big sponge.
Right. I think the most notable thing that falls into that category is the... Beastie Boys condom.
Ah, now for what era was that?
That was a ill-communicational promotional device.
Okay.
Somebody somewhere thought that was a good idea, and it is still sealed. I have not used it.
Now, are you planning on using it?
I think after 15 years, I would start to doubt the integrity of the device.
All right. But hey, safe sex, that's a good thing. You know, Jimmy Cap prevents diseases. KRS-One singing about the Jimmy Cap years before the Beastie Boys put out the communication condom.
They caught up eventually, you know?
All right, so Beastie Boys condom. I know you have some, you have the Hello Nasty shopping bag.
I do.
And that's not odd that they put it out, but it's odd that you have kept it.
There's a whole slew of Hello Nasty-related stuff. The coffee cup.
Okay. Now, do you drink out of the coffee cup?
I have not drank out of the coffee cup, but evidently New Yorkers, when Hello Nasty came out, they distributed these coffee cups to the street vendors and stuff like that.
Oh, you're talking about the paper coffee cup.
Yeah, the paper cup. Yeah, no ceramics. No ceramic here. But, we got that, a mouse pad.
Nice.
I think one of my favorite is the little Australian intergalactic robot.
Ah. Now, how big is that?
You're looking at about 4 inches, tops.
So it's like it's not
very big.
It's a little plastic robot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where
did you get a little plastic robot from Australia?
Wow, you know, thank God that we live in the information internet age that we do.
Yes.
Because I don't know how I would have amassed half of the stuff that I have without eBay and message boards and, you know, various shops and stuff like that, you know, you would never have an opportunity to even know that 90% of this existed without the internet at this point.
But we should also point out that before the internet got in full swing, you were collecting.
Yeah.
So you did it the old school way, and you're also doing it the new school way.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I guess, I was thinking about, when did my obsession really begin?
So you're saying you're obsessed.
No, obsession.
But you're obsessed.
I'm not upset.
No, obsessed.
Obsessed. Obsessed. Yes. With an O.
Yes.
Yes.
Because earlier in the show, I was saying how people, they think I'm obsessed with the Beastie Boys. And I don't think I'm obsessed. I just think I'm a really big fan. But you're obsessed.
You make it sound like such a horrible thing.
No, that's okay. We all have our vices in life.
Right. Well, you know, I think that it really has to do with the fact that I'm a little bit obsessive compulsive. And, you know, so when I, commit to something that, you know, I want everything. So, you know, it's started with a couple pieces and then just ballooned from there into, you know, now I have stuff everywhere, basically.
All right, so let's talk about your favorite item. Not necessarily the most valuable item in a monetary sense, but your favorite item.
My favorite item is the one-of-a-kind item, and it's a day that I will always treasure, and I have you to thank, actually, for this.
Go on.
So shout out to you, but...
Shout out!
You may recall.
Hey,
you were
prof. Shout out!
Yeah.
Shout out! Accepted.
Okay. And I should also shout out to Smooth and Fuzz and the other Mike D.
Yes, Mike DeMonico.
Not the Mike D that a lot of people were thinking of. There's another Mike D.
Yes,
that we all know and love as well.
The Italian one with a really hairy chest.
Yes, and we love it. We were lucky enough to come to Vegas and actually meet the Beastie Boys when they were in town doing their $2 bill show.
Yes,
that you hosted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a picture taken in the penthouse suite of the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. We got oddity graphs from all the members, and then we got backstage passes to the show that evening, and so I took all those items and I got it professionally matted and framed,
Ooh.
And so that is my memento of my brush with greatness, so to speak.
So all see, I haven't seen that yet.
Haven't you really?
No.
Oh yeah, it's quite the piece.
Now, you had the Beastie Boys sign the liner notes of Paul's Boutique. Is that also in the frame?
That is in the frame.
Now,
I know that some people may like point out because, you know, we got Ab Rock, we got MCA, we got Mike D, and we have Mixmaster Mike also signed. And a lot of people say, well, wait a minute. Mixmaster Mike had absolutely nothing to do with Paul's Boutique. And you are correct. But as far as album covers go, Paul's Boutique takes the cake, and so that's what I went with. In fact, I think I came unprepared, and we stopped at like a Best Buy or something like that, just so I could get an extra CD for them to sign at the show.
Now, where is that extra CD? What did you do with it?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think I may have actually taken that CD and replaced another, you know, the comparable CD that had been worn out from, you know, continuous play and stuff like that.
There's something about Paul's Boutique, because when I was in college, someone stole my car, and the only thing they took from it was my Paul's Boutique tape. And then
that was probably worth more than your car at the time.
Maybe. And do you know that Paul's Boutique tape was the first ever Beastie Boy item I ever purchased? Because I got
really?
Yeah, I got License to Ill and Check Your Head. I got those on mixtapes. So that was like the first purchase I made. Someone freaking stole it. Ironically, or I should say coincidentally, there's a song called Car Thief on the album. And then when I went back to college, everyone felt so bad for me because they knew how big of a Beastie Boys fan I was that everyone gave me like their Paul's Boutique tape. So I had like, I ended up with three tapes.
Now, which color did you have?
I think I got a clear one, and then I got like, it's like a deep blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't realize what a tape is anymore.
Ah.
For you youngsters. But back in the day, we used to use the tape and rock the tape deck. And when Paul's Boutique came out, there was actually, gosh, it must be like six or eight different colors that the cassette came in.
Yeah.
So, little fun nugget for you guys.
Very fun nugget. And then the next time the Beastie Boys put out a color tape was when?
That would be Ill Communication with the green tape.
Yes, the green. And I don't know what it was with the colored tapes. Like, my Paul's Boutique had a sticker on it for, like, the track listing, but on Ill Communication, it was printed right on there. And by the end of the summer, my entire track listing was, like, it just melted away. I guess the paint didn't stick on those colored cassettes for some reason. I don't know if you encountered that problem.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I can't recall.
Okay.
You might have been
rocking the CD at that point in time, because I was a latecomer to the CD.
No. Okay. No, not at all. Actually, you know, it's interesting because, you know, my fandom actually began prior to that with License to Ill. And in the sixth grade, I have distinct memories of the split that this caused in our sixth grade class, because at the same time, Bon Jovi had also released Slippery When Wet, their, you know, sort of big album at the time. And so all girls in our sixth grade class were like gaga over John Bon Jovi and Bon Jovi and Slippery When Wet, and they would play it and sing it all the time. And then all the boys in our class were equally, you know, enamored with the Beastie Boys and License to Ill.
Yep.
And so it was a very division of the sexes in the sixth grade. So, that was really my beginning. And then I actually, you know, I sort of passed over the whole Paul's Boutique era, quite honestly. I missed
same,
out
same,
on that
same.
Firsthand. I'm making up for it. Give me a break. But, and then when Check Your Head came out is when I really I think from that point on was really the second era of my, you know, fandom.
Yeah,
but,
well, yeah,
I mean, I remember, it was just absolutely just came out of nowhere.
Yep.
It changed the face of music.
See, because Check Your Head is what got me, and then I went back to License to Ill, although everyone in school was already listening to that when I was in grade school. And then everyone told me, don't get Paul's Boutique because it sucks. And I'm like, well, if I'm a Beastie Boys fan, I have to get all their albums. And I popped in Paul's Boutique. And let me say that I was blown away immediately. I thought it was genius immediately. But
I think what it was for me is, and you can attest to this, that in the late 80s, early 90s, as far as where my musical leanings were, there was a lot of, so I was sort of getting into the whole hip-hop thing, and like a lot of young, impressionable white youth, had leanings towards some of the more explicit or hardcore hip-hop of the day, like some N.W.A., Public Enemy. In fact, you may remember the...
I remember Public every Enemy. Day. Let me say that Prof. D. in high school, he had a Public Enemy hat, Public Enemy shirt, Public Enemy medallion.
Oh, not just the shirt. It was a baseball jersey.
Yeah, the baseball jersey. And he wore them simultaneously.
Yes.
All together at once. And I, at the time, I loved Public Enemy. It's a tough word to say. And you, because you were a grade ahead of me, I was like, this kid is awesome.
Right. Little did you know how wrong you were.
No, you are awesome. But if I were to look at a picture of you from 11th grade, I would probably laugh right now.
I would definitely laugh right now because I would have looked ridiculous.
Yeah, because as years go by, you realize that you should only wear one of those things, with your wardrobe, not all together.
Right.
But
it's called overkill.
I think we've officially been sidetracked.
I don't know how that happened.
Well, listen, Prof, you're gonna be on more episodes of the Brouhaha. But today, you are contractually obligated to talk about your memorabilia collection.
Yes. What would you like to know?
All right, the crown jewel of your collection.
Wow. Imagine if old Mother Hubbard, with her multitudes of children, had to pick her favorite. And I think she would be hard-pressed.
All right, Prof, favorites.
Let me break it down just in terms of maybe some categories and why I think those are cool or interesting, at least to me.
Okay.
So, because I thought about this in preparation for this this premiere podcast. And so...
Before you go into your story...
Yeah.
I want to let you know and all the listeners know that I was playing basketball a couple days ago against these younger kids. And
how young?
Seniors in high school.
Okay.
Who play for the basketball team. So technically they should be better than me. And I guess kids don't play defense as much as they used to because they just expected me, like they would drive the lane and expected me to step aside. So I took a charge. The kid ran into me.
Did they drive the lane like Evan Bernard?
I've never seen Evan Bernard play basketball, so I don't know. We should have Evan on an episode of the Brouhaha. So if he's listening, Evan, give me a call. Evan's called me before. I made a mistake once on 120 minutes, and he called me out on it. Because this video, I think it was a Kato Salsa Experience video. And I said, this is so cool.
Wow.
Like, it's so cool. Like, they're doing it with all these security cameras. It's like the first video I've ever seen do this. And then he called me up a couple days later. He's like, aisle 10 from Scapegoat Wax, I directed the video that has security cameras in it. And that was before the Kato Salsa Experience video. And I'm like, all right, well, I will apologize to you the following week. And I did. So,
wow, Evan Bernard really put you in your place.
Yes, because that's...
Set you straight.
That's aisle 10, hello, Alice, in parentheses, hello, Allison, right?
Sure.
I think.
I know that I can hear the song, but I don't know what the subtitle is.
I know. I forget if it's Hey Allison or Hello Allison. So, Evan Bernard, you know,
$100 on that.
We're going to have, yes, we'll check these when we have the break, and then we'll come back and we'll let everyone know if it's a word or name or hey or hello. So, Evan Bernard, you know how to get a hold of me. Back to my basketball story. I took a charge, and I believe I injured some intercostal rib muscles. And every time you say something and I want to laugh, I begin to laugh, but I can't give a full laugh. So it almost sounds like a fake laugh. So I'm not giving you a fake courtesy laugh. It's just that I can't laugh because of my injury.
Okay.
All right.
I'm very sorry to hear that. I wish you the best of recovery.
It's happened before. I'll be back in 3 weeks. So continue with your story.
Well, okay. So I thought long and hard about, you know, sort of all of the various items in my collection. And let me try to break it down to some of my favorites.
Okay.
So at first I said, well, what if I look at the rarity of an item, you know, in terms of, you know, limited editions and things of that nature. And so I think the most rare, other than the item I described, the one-of-a-kind item I described before, is a copy of it's actually a cassette of the Paul's Boutique album, instrumental style.
Ooh.
And there were only supposedly 10 of these made ever. And so I have one of those of the 10 that were made, and who knows how many of them actually still survive to this day.
Wow.
I have that. There's a and then I think the other notable limited edition, which is also just a cool, cool item, is one of 70, and it is the Sasquatch action figure.
Whoa. With real fuzz on it, or is it?
It's real fuzz.
Nice.
He has his apron on his on his waist and a very snazzy vest.
How tall is it?
You're looking at about 9 inches.
All right, so bigger than the robot.
Very heavy, very, very heavy.
Oh, okay, dense. That's a solid toy right there.
It is. Yeah, it was. It's quite the piece, and it came in like a tube for display purposes. But I have it out, and but there was only 70 of those made, and they're numbered, limited edition, and I have number one out of 70.
Nice.
So. But, you know, so I was, you know, a couple of those just in terms of small number of things that exist. And then I thought, like, just the coolness, and I think the top of the list is the show vinyl. Which is in the vinyl collecting world is pretty much like the crown jewel, at least as far as Beastie collectors go.
Now, are those Hurricane?
Yeah.
Hurricane vinyls or Mixmaster Mike vinyls?
Well, you know, it's funny because I actually have 5 of them, all told, from different eras. And so 2 of them are Hello Nasty era.
Okay.
So certainly, at least I would like to think, touched by Mixmaster Mike.
You would think.
I would hope. You know, I haven't done a DNA test to see if, in fact, they were touched by Mixmaster Mike. But in my mind, he sweated all over them during some performance.
Nice.
So I have that, and then I have one from the Bill Communication era, and so certainly DJ Hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think had his hands on that. And then, interestingly enough, speaking of DJ Hurricane, I have 2 show vinyls from DJ Hurricane himself.
Wow.
From his albums and music and stuff like that, which is, you know, sort of peripheral to the main 3 Beastie Boys, but still falls under, you know, the related item category. So
you don't need to explain yourself.
I focus, you know, primarily on, you know, obviously the Beastie Boys, BS 2000, Luscious Jackson, because of the Kate connection, mm-hmm. and just because Luscious Jackson is really cool chicks.
Yeah.
And make awesome music. Mixmaster Mike items I have. So it's pretty much where we're at.
And we should let the world know that, yes, you also own the limited edition action figures.
Yes, I do. And, you know, it's actually, I'm a little, not, I don't want to say upset, but I wish that the Sasquatch figure was to scale with the Beastie action figures so that they could play basketball or something.
Now, do you
right, the way it's scaled out is the Sasquatch is like a mini Sasquatch.
Right.
And the Beasties are a couple inches taller than him, so it doesn't quite work out.
Ah, the tables have turned, Sasquatch.
Right.
I like that.
Right.
So, wait, do you play with your action figures?
If I did, I would never admit it. We'll put it that way.
Because if I own those, I would play with them.
Well, you know, you may recall that I have invited you over to, at the very least, see them, if not play with them. And you have not done so.
Not yet.
Due to, you know, schedule conflicts,
yeah.
And, you know, we're both busy men. I understand.
Well, every time I go back home, it's for a holiday, so I don't have time to play with Beastie Boy action figures.
Jim, you don't need to explain to me. I get it. It's all
but
right.
Do you remember the old school WWF rubber wrestlers? Like, they were probably like 6 inches high. Every kid who owned those, after like 1 week, all the paint would be worn off and there'd be like dog bites in the feet. That's how my action figures would look. So maybe it's good.
Right, okay.
It's good that I don't own those.
You should stay away from my action figures then.
Yeah, but I would pop in like a live recording and then just have them like dance around on the tabletop. That'd be fun.
Right. Yeah. And how much did those run? Like $5? Something like that?
Wait, what was $5?
The wrestlers.
No. Back in the day, those
were
like, there's like 15, 10, maybe $10?
$10?
Yeah, those were.
$10 you can eat, right?
Yeah, okay. But how much did you pay for your Beastie Boy action figures?
I'm not going to mention how much I paid for all these various items, other than I've spent a lot. I mean, we'll just leave it at that.
One day, if they do create a Beastie Boys museum, would you donate any of your collection?
Well, what I would do is, like, you know, you hear about some of these, like, where people will donate for a limited time,
right,
items for the public, but then it's always my understanding that they would get them back.
Okay.
And so I would be more than happy to donate the use of some of my items if they came home with me at some point.
Okay, fair enough. So, Beastie Boys, Prof D willing to donate for a limited time.
Limited time only.
Professor, we are going to take a break, but when we come back, we are going to count down the top 10 Beastie Boys B-sides of all time. Yes, sir.
What it is, come check the noise. It's the new black version of the Beastie Boys.
From the Beastie Brothers and the Beastie Boys, with their Beastie toys, you give you some Beastie joys. To put on your Beastie drawers and show me your Beastie paws.
The Brouhaha.
What's another word for pirate treasure?
Whoa.
Hello, Allison. I wanna hold your hand. I haven't been the same man since I saw you coming in. Let's have a toast to the girl in aisle 10.
We need some help in our
Hello, Allison!
It's not quite a scream right there. We are back on the Brouhaha. During the break, we did some fact-checking. It is indeed what is another word for pirate treasure, not name for pirate treasure. And the music video directed by Evan Bernard is Aisle 10 in parentheses, Hello, Allison, not Hey, Allison, from Scapegoat Wax. So there you go. Once again, I would like to thank Prof. D for chatting with us today. He's a busy man. Besides doing pro bono work for Beastie Boys podcasts, he also designs educational software. He's a volunteer fireman and paramedic. And once every couple years, he is also an MC in an underground garage hip-hop group. But we can talk about that on another podcast. So, Prof. D, thank you. And as promised, right now we have the top 10 Beastie Boys B-sides of all time. And before we start, let me lay out some ground rules. Our definition of a B-side is a song that was not properly released off of a Beastie Boys studio album and or EP. Now, how did we come up with this list? There was a panel of three Beastie experts, including myself, Prof. D, and Smooth. We had a mathematical formula, we crunched numbers, we sent emails, and out of all of that came this, the list of the top 10 Beastie Boys B-sides of all time, and we begin with number 10. Soba Violence, released off the Japanese version of Alio e Olio, not released off the American version. And maybe it's a gift to Japan, since the inspiration for the song happened in Japan. Because if you read the booklet included in the Sounds of Science anthology, Mike D says that he was in this soba noodle establishment, an altercation broke out, and he called that altercation soba violence, not to be confused with soba noodles. At number 9. Livewire. Love that song. One of my favorite Beastie Boys B-sides of all time. And there's some controversy. Some think that this is not a B-side. And hard to say, because the only new song, to the best of my knowledge, that was released off the Beastie Boys Sounds of Science anthology was Alive. And that was the single used to promote the album. And I always thought that 20 Questions and Livewire, those were just leftover. And if you read the booklet included in the Sounds of Science, all the songs are listed in a chronological order, and I'm assuming that Livewire was a leftover from the Hello Nasty sessions. I could be wrong. If it was created brand new for the anthology, that was never made public. So if this is not a B-side, I will take away my votes and it will be knocked off the list, but I would love to hear the song live. And because Ad Rock sings it, I think it would work great in the portion of the live show where the Beastie Boys do Gratitude and Sabotage. Throw Livewire in there and see how it works. At number 8 on the list of the best Beastie Boys B-sides of all time is Sweet Like a Butter Mill with Nutella. Creamy like Buffalo Mozzarella. Sneaking around, you know I smell you while I play you like a peanut and salt. Shut up! Now Get Busy, a B-side from To the Five Boroughs. And that sample may sound familiar because it precedes Right Right Now Now. So here's my question for all of you. Was Now Get Busy supposed to be on To the Five Boroughs, naturally leading into Right Right Now Now? Or because Now Get Busy did not make To the Five Boroughs, were the Beastie Boys like, you know what? That's a pretty slick sample. Let's just throw it in on some random song on To the Five Boroughs. Something to think about. At number 7. The Vibes, coming off of the Sure Shot maxi single with the red cover and that kid listening to his record and he's saying, Ma, what are they giving me? It's a fabulous maxi single. And I always thought that this song would be a great opener for the Beastie Boys. Close your eyes right now. Picture Mixmaster Mike scratching on the turntables for his intro, and then he leads into doo doo doo. I would love to hear the song live. Ever since it came out, I wanted to hear it live, and maybe one day I'll get my wish. At number 6 on the list.
My Uncle Freddy's making horse fetish. You serve your own a platter like a filthy fish.
Stick 'em, ha ha, stick 'em. Stick 'em, ha ha, stick 'em.
Well, Toby, you still want to be my uncle?
Burr, stick 'em. A B-side off of To the Five Boroughs. Prof D mentioned when we were making this list. Shout out to the Fat Boys. And like many songs off of To the Five Boroughs, this track has a sample as the chorus slash hook of the song. And the first time I listened to the Five Boroughs, that kind of scared me. Because I was like, how are the Beastie Boys going to perform these songs live? And 6 years later, the live joints from To the Five Boroughs have been the songs with human beings rhyming the hooks, like To Check It Out, Triple Trouble, Right Right Now Now, and An Open Letter to NYC. So the sampled hooks, they work well on vinyl. Sometimes they don't fly during the live show. At number 5. Mullethead, another winner off that Sure Shot maxi single. And this was a treat because the first time we heard it, it was on the Sabotage Home video, placed behind the montage of MCA snowboarding down a mountain. And then when we got the Sure Shot maxi single, we were like, whoa, they've got lyrics and it's a song about Joey Buttafuoco. And this song, as well as the article in Grand Royal, really brought the term mullet to the mainstream. I said it once, and I'll say it a million times. The Beastie Boys, always ahead of the learning curve. At number 4.
Everything is in a state of evolution. Evolution time.
Yo, that sample is off the hook. Literally off the hook. That's a phone off the hook. In the cell phone generation, they just wouldn't understand. This was released off of the Sabotage / Get It Together maxi single, also featuring another dope B-side. Will that one make the list? We shall see. File this one under MCA Solo Joint, along with A Year and a Day, Stand Together, The Update, But a Sattva Vow, and Flow in Prose. And I once asked MCA about these solo numbers, and he's like, well, you know, when you're making an album, sometimes it doesn't feel complete, so I'll go off, I'll bring these songs back. And I guess if the songs end up working live, then the band will divvy up the lyrics like they do and Stand Together. At number 3 on the best Beastie Boys B-sides of all time is...
I want you.
Boomin' Granny, a B-side off of Check Your Head, and Beastie Boys, once again, ahead of the learning curve, making cougars cool before they were cool. And some people might think that this song is in poor taste, but let me ask this. Is it so wrong making an 80-year-old woman feel sexy about herself? I thought not! Old people need to feel sexy too, and the bass in this song is just woo! So nice. At number 2 on our list is...
Gotta get back to count my blessings. Stuck on my sailor, I can't get off. This ride is in motion and I can't get let off. Get my penis stuck on crypt and my balls rotated. Realign my spine and get my brain located. It's like that, y'all, and you don't quit. It's like that, y'all, and you don't quit. It's like that, y'all, and you don't quit. It's like that, y'all, and you don't quit.
Dope little song. A song that has a very literal title, It is a little song that is dope. This is a B-side from Ill Communication. I love this song because you can hear the vocals cleanly. Because there are a handful of songs from Ill Communication, and the vocals are kind of buried behind that distortion. And I don't think that they can ever remix those songs, because I think from the get-go, they distorted the vocals. Because like MCA Rhymes and Sure Shot, you know, they weren't rocking the pantyhose. And I wish they were rocking the pantyhose on songs like B-Boys, Making with the Freak Freak, and The Scoop. But they weren't. But at least we can hear the vocals cleanly in Dope Little Song. And I believe we have reached the top of the Beastie Boys B-side mountain. The number one Beastie Boy B-side of all time is... Skills to Pay the Bills. Yes, indeedy. And you may remember that there was a Pass the Mic remix called Skills to Pay the Bills. The Beastie Boys liked the title so much, they decided to make a song called Skills to Pay the Bills. And then they liked the song so much that they created a home video called Skills to Pay the Bills. And Skills to Pay the Bills, the only song on this list that still gets love from the Beastie Boys during their live show. And I love that part when Mixmaster Mike tickles in the public enemy. Let's listen to that for a second. The skills to pay the bills, yo! What? Okay! Yeah! I love it! Skills to Pay the Bills, the number one Beastie Boys B-side of all time. And that is going to do it for this episode of The Brouhaha. If you guys would like to email us, you can do so over at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. We would like to thank Prof D for coming in and dropping some Beastie Boys memorabilia knowledge. So until next time, my name is Jim. I wear cotton and I don't wear hair. And I will see you later. That's it. That's all there is. Come on.
We're gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
I guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha.